If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. I'm just going to read like three verses, but I'm going to talk about, comment about several more. But Exodus chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 23, the last three verses of that chapter. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. I got nothing new today. Matter of fact, I got something old. Yeah. But I got something true, I believe. What I want to show here is the way in which God deals with his people. Because God has not changed. That's clear. God never changes. Paul, you read it this morning. What has been is now. And what shall be is now. And what is now shall be. God never changes. There's not even a shadow of turning with him. And he will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. In his goodness, he will show love, grace, and mercy to his people. In the process of time. That was another good thing we read this morning. Verse 23 says, and it came to pass in the process of time. I didn't talk to Paul, or we haven't said anything to each other about what was written there, but it's like, I got my note here, says never forget the concept of time in the scriptures. Never. Never forget the concept of time. You will see this constantly in the scriptures. Seed time, there's a set time. There's a time appointed, and then there's the appointed time. That time. In Jeremiah, he's got the time of healing, the time of evil, and the time of affliction, and the time of Jacob's trouble. And then there's places where it says, this is the time. There are other places where it says, the time has not yet come. And then my personal favorite is the fullness of time. Because in the fullness of time, a lot of good things happen. A lot of good things happen. Our Lord came in the fullness of time. He told him while he was here a lot of time, his hour had not yet come. It wasn't time. But then he said, the hour has come. The hour has come. There is a time for every purpose under the heaven. Thank you, Paul, for reading that. It's the truth of God. Never forget this. And in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. Now, the reference there is for that the king of Egypt wanted Moses dead. Moses had been gone 40 years. One time we meet him at chapter 3 and verse 1. Moses had been in Midian for those 40 years. But in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. And guess what? The king of Egypt's dying made no change in the bondage of Israel. It made no change as far as they knew. They sighed by the reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up to God. But verse 24 says this. And God heard their groanings. and God heard. I looked at that word and it means literally to hear intelligently, to hear with attention. Now, God hears everything. I want to be clear about that. God hears everything. But here it specifically states that God heard their groaning. He was specifically paying attention to their groaning at this time. And then it says God remembered. And I looked at that because I can't imagine God forgetting anything. Well, that's what Deb and I were talking about. And she said, "You remind me, we got to go to the store." And I thought, yeah, I remembered that this morning, but I'd already forgotten. But when she told it to me, I did remember. That's the way it works for us. What this means is God called it to mind. God called to mind his covenant. And pay very close attention to this. It's his covenant. He made it. It is with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. But it's still his covenant. It's not our covenant. It's not their covenant. It's his covenant. And God called that covenant to mind when he heard the groanings. When he was paying attention to the groanings. He never forgot. He had promised the seed, and he had promised the land. The seed's going to be like the stars in the sky and the sands on the beach. The sands of the sea. He'd promised that. He'd made an everlasting covenant. And that covenant hadn't gone anywhere. No matter where Egypt, where they're in Egypt, the children of Israel were, that covenant was still everlasting, and it's still his covenant. He had promised it. And then verse 25 says, and God looked upon the children of Israel. They didn't know it, but this is a good day for them. When God looks upon the children of Israel, it's in a good way. Here, because it said, you know, it's not that God saw them, he looked upon them. God sees everything, just like God never forgot, and God hears everything. God sees everything. He is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is everywhere. It makes it easier to see everything. But this says he looked upon the children of Israel. God saw them specifically with purpose. He looked upon the children of Israel. And I'll tell you something, that's the definition of a good day. Because when God looks upon you, that's a good day. There are things God doesn't look at. There are people God doesn't look at. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold sin. But God looked upon the children of Israel this day, at this time, in the process of time. This is the day. And it says, and God had respect unto them. And I looked at that word because, you know, God doesn't respect any man's person. Yeah, well, not the way they mean it when they use that at you, put it that way. God had regard unto them. And actually, literal translation of this word, respect, is God knew them. That's the word. God looked upon the children of Israel and he knew them. He had regard unto them. That is so much more than what the world thinks. If God has regard for you, a man, that's a glory. It's because of his glory. It's because of his work. It's because of his choice. It's because of his purpose But an intimate personal knowledge of the children of Israel is shown here. A complete and total knowing of his people. Why now? Why after all this time? They've been there for a while. Paul, because now is God's time. That's what's going on here. Now it happens in time. He's already made his covenant. He's already made the promises. He's already given them the promises. But there's coming a time that they're going to come out of Egypt. And this is that time. It's God's time. In the process of time, in verse 23, was not only about the death of the king. In the process of time, God had promised he was going to bring his people into a land. And I can tell you this right now, reading these three verses, with a surety, this isn't the first time that the people of Israel cried out. This isn't the first time they sighed under the bondage. They had been sighing and crying for years. God knew who they were. God knew where they were. And what their exact situation and circumstances were the whole time. There are no surprises. However, now it's different. Because now it's God's time to bring them out. Like I said, they didn't know it at the time, but this was a good day for them. Right now, God looked. Right now, God heard. Right now, God regarded them. And right now, God knew them. However, then, this is actually the story of Moses. And if you look at verse 3 and verse 1, it answers the question, when this was happening, where was Moses? Moses was on the backside of the desert. He kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Literally, the backside of the desert means behind the wilderness. And according to Stephen and his sermon before he got stoned, Moses had been there 40 years. He was 40 years old when he left, and he'd been there 40 years. And guess what? In the process of time, it's now time for Moses to come back. It'd been 40 years since Moses took things into his own hands and killed an Egyptian. It looks like we've switched accounts here, but it haven't. We haven't, because what happens here with Moses is because God heard, remembered, looked upon, and regarded the children of Israel. All of these are going to meet together. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked around, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The messenger of the Lord appeared. That's what the messenger of the Lord does. He appears. And I like how the detail here, it says in a flame of fire. Not just in a fire, in a flame of fire. It reminds me of Daniel's den of lions. He wasn't just thrown in a den. No, he was thrown in a den with lions in it. And the burning fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was burning, it was fiery, it was a furnace. Well, this was a flame of fire. There are people who say, oh, you know, never mind. We're not going to go into that. The whole of the German higher criticism was this. If we can't do it now, it never happened. There's no such thing as miracles, is what they taught. There's nothing miraculous. So anything in the scripture that was miraculous must be made up. That's not German higher criticism. That's called blatant denial of the scripture, is what that is. I believe Moses saw a bush that burned that was not consumed. But not only did Moses see that bush, he turned. That's verse 3. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. He saw, and he wanted to see more. So what happened? Moses turned. And he turned, and he saw more, and he also heard, because the Lord saw Moses turn. Verse 4. And then it says, God called. These are one of the strange things about, you'll notice, about the Old Testament scriptures. Because the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all four capital letters, is the word Yahweh, Jehovah, as some people call it. The word God is Elohim, which is the plural. And it says the Lord saw, Yahweh saw, but Elohim called. And he called him by name. He said, out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. Moses was called by name, by God, here. Yahweh saw him, and Elohim called him by name. And when God calls you by name, you will answer. And Moses answered, here am I. Here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. According to Stephen again, where we're at here, Horeb, is what it says here. But it says, came to the mountain of God. According to Stephen, we're on Sinai, which is the same place that Moses will be later to get some other stuff. The same mountain. This is holy ground. The mountain of the burning bush that was not consumed is the mountain of the tablets of stone containing the law. The mountain of the burning bush that was not consumed is where Moses gets the instructions later for the tabernacle. There's some big stuff happening up on this mountain. Take off your shoes. This place is holy ground. Now, after God calls you by name, and you answer, here's what we see here with Moses. He reveals himself to him. Verse 6 says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. What happens after God calls a man by name? He reveals himself. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered, who are you, Lord? Who are you? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. After God calls you by name, he'll show you who he is. But he's got to call you by name first, otherwise you're not going to get it. Though a man tell you. There were those that were spoken of by Christ in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. He said, they won't believe though one rose from the dead and told it. If they hear not Moses in the scriptures, they won't believe the Christ of God. If they don't believe this, they won't believe him. And if they don't know him, they won't believe this. What happens after a man, God calls a man by name? He reveals himself to that person. And then Moses said, how wonderful, how miraculous. How great? No, Moses hid his face. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, said, woe is me. I'm undone. Moses hid his face because he said he was afraid to look upon God. The big accusation at the end of Romans chapter 3, at the end of Paul's litany there, this is the accusation. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If there's no fear of God, there's no knowledge of God. It's that simple. If you come to know God, you will come to know fear of God. That's the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Both is the fear of the Lord. And He can teach. He can teach. We have problems learning, but He can teach. If God ever reveals Himself to you, there is awe. I mean, there is awe, there is respect, but there is also fear. And Christ Himself said, fear Him, who that after He kills the body can cast the soul into hell. This is the kind of God that we deal with, that we are taught, that is written of in this book. And Moses hid his face because he feared to look upon God. Now here comes part of the point. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. To the end of chapter 2, where it says, God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God had respect. That's what He's telling Moses right here. I've heard, I've seen, and I know. Verse 8 tells us this wonderful statement. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I've seen the affliction, I've heard their cry, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down. Wow. This one that Moses is hiding his face from. This one that Moses was afraid of. That Isaiah said, woe is me. I am come down to deliver them. And not only that, I am come down to deliver them out. And not only that, I am come down to bring them up. The Lord is come down to deliver. Now, pay very close attention here. Them. Who's the them? Well, the ones I've seen, the ones I've heard, and the ones I know. See, y'all are always getting into that election stuff and trying to put a division and trying to say that God's particular about who He loves and who He does things for. No, I'm not. The Scripture is. You understand? There were a lot of people who were slaves in other countries. And I'll tell you this, there were other people who were slaves in Egypt at this time that weren't the children of Israel. And God didn't come to deliver a single one of them. I am come down to deliver them. Marvin did real well on that this morning on the radio. God has always set a difference between his people and the world. And he's telling that to Moses right here. He's just laying it flat out. I'm come to deliver them. I'm not freeing all the slaves. I come to save the children of Israel. The ones I've heard, the ones I've seen, the ones I know. Them and them alone am I come down to deliver. Now the Lord alone can deliver. He's the only one who can deliver. But here we're seeing that I am the Lord who does deliver. And the Lord delivers exactly whom he will. That's what he tells Moses later. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And that's what he's telling Moses here. He's going to tell him that later. Again, election is everywhere in the Bible. It's not named that way everywhere in the Bible, but God has always had, does have, and shall have. He always has had a chosen people for his name. And I have come down, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up. They're going to be delivered, but that ain't all. Because deliverance is not complete until you're brought up. I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to bring them up and put them in the land I promised. I'm going to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. I'm going to deliver them out of that country, but I'm going to bring them up into the country I gave them, the country I gave their father Abraham. The Lord remembered his covenant. Because there is no deliverance total unless there is a bringing up. And they will be completely delivered because he has come down to deliver them. Exodus 3:10 says, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, God speaking to Moses again, that thou mayest bring forth my people out. Moses was to go back into Egypt unto Pharaoh with a purpose. Why? Because in the process of time, it's now time. Moses answered and said to God, he said, who am I? Who am I? One man, a nobody. I've been on the backside of the desert, at the back of the wilderness for 40 years. I'm a man. God knew that. Now Moses had once been somebody. He'd refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says that later on. By faith. But he had been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He'd been educated. He'd been in the court. He'd been in the palaces. He'd been around. But he left all that behind by faith. It says in Hebrews 11. But he says, I'm nobody. Who am I? There's only one answer to that, and that's in verse 12. And this is the word of God to Moses, and he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God, but upon this mountain. holy ground. Certainly, I will be with thee. God is not with everybody. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I ain't apologizing for God. I just don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Unless it's necessary. All right. Sometimes I take great delight in hurting people's feelings, or at least their thoughts about God. God is not with everybody. God has not come to deliver everybody. God does not see everybody, hear everybody, and know everybody. God told Moses, I certainly will be with thee when you go to do this. Why? Because I'm come down to deliver. Moses ain't delivering. Moses did not deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. The Lord did. Because all of this that God promised, all of this that God said, it came to pass. I don't have time to go into all that. And right now, right here, actually, this is the end of the discussion. Now, it's not for Moses, because he's going to fuss and he's going to say, I can't do this and let my brother talk for me or whatever. And I'll send you, you know. But no, this is the end of the discussion right here. Moses just didn't know it. Certainly, I'll be with thee. And that's exactly what we find out when you read the rest of this account. That certainly the Lord was with Moses. It was settled when God said it. And guess what? It's exactly what happened. Moses went, and the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them up into a land of milk and honey. Now there's a big gap in between there with a lot of stuff that happens in between, which is in here. But this is where God has declared that he is going to do it right now at this time. And it was going to happen, and it did happen. Because Moses went from the backside of the desert to the backside of the desert again. He went from Sinai to Sinai. The burning bush was there, I said it earlier. And the tablets of stone, the law, was there. But also, from there, came the instructions for the tabernacle. Sinai is to lead us to Christ. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. To bring us to Christ. The law hasn't gone anywhere. In between those two times, the Lord came down to deliver up the children of Israel. And he did. Now, I do know that Moses is a type of Christ in the deliverance of Israel. I do know that he is a type of the law given. And Aaron the high priest. But what I wanted to talk about here this morning, and why I wanted to bring this up, is because of one of the things Walter's been saying. Where God will take one sinner and send that one sinner to another sinner to reveal his word. And that's what he did with Moses here. Moses took the word of God to the children of Israel in Egypt, and the Lord delivered them out. God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God had regard unto these children. And God called, prepared, and sent a man to them to tell them these things. And God said of that man, to that man, I certainly will be with thee. And he was. The Lord delivered, and the Lord brought them out in the process of time. And the Lord's deliverance was delivered in time. There is a purpose, there is a time for every purpose under the heaven. Election is unto salvation, it is not salvation. There's a time of deliverance, there's a time of being delivered out and brought in. It's everywhere in the scriptures. The Lord said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and unto a good land. And he has promised every child that he has that he will give them life and light and bring them into his kingdom. In time, in the process of time, in his time, he saves every son that he has. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to grasp ever so slightly better what he has done for us and to us and in us. Because everything we have comes down from you through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.